Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, along with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And today, we have an extraordinary guest in the studio, don't we, Doctor?
Dr. Meeker, I just can't tell our listeners how pleased I am to welcome Rabbi Jonathan Kahn back with us again. He was with us in May of last year, and he has come again. At that time, he was talking about his best-selling book. In fact, it was a New York Times best-selling book called The Harbinger, and I think that interview with you was the number one broadcast of the year, as I recall. Wow. Wasn't that right?
That's right.
Well, he's got a new book out now called The Mystery of the Shemitah, and it is actually selling faster than The Harbinger.
Mm.
Yes. You're a blessed man. You know that?
Yes, you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
We are blessed to be able to speak with you and to read the extraordinary information that you have to give us. There's nothing else in the United States like this information. It's so important for believers and non-believers alike.
And I think people are really going to enjoy this interview today. Rabbi Kahn leads Hope for the World Ministries and the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel, a worship center made up of Jews and Gentiles, people of all backgrounds, and it's located in Wayne, New Jersey. That's almost as remote as Traverse City, Michigan, where you are, Meg.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
Rabbi Kahn's teachings are seen on television and radio throughout the nation. And last May, we had the privilege, as I said a minute ago, of interviewing Rabbi Kahn as he spoke about The Harbinger, and we're going to get into his new work today. But first, Rabbi, I want to know a little bit about your background. We didn't really cover much of that before. When you were 8 years of age, you decided that you were an atheist.
Yeah, I was raised, I'm Jewish, I was raised in the synagogue, went to Hebrew school several times a week. And I was taught about David and Elijah and all the prophets. And the thing was, when I looked at the synagogue, when I looked at what was happening in the services, I didn't see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God of the prophets. I didn't see God moving. I didn't see God doing things. I didn't see God real in people's lives. And the rabbi never got up and said, hey, God talked to me today, or I love God so much. It just didn't – it was a disconnect. And so when I saw that disconnect between –
At 8 years of age,
second grade.
I always questioned everything. I mean, I always did, you know. And so I questioned it. And once I questioned it, that was it. It was like I became an atheist and I said, there's no God. And I held that. I argued with people. And, you know, I was known as the atheist in school. And it lasted for a while until I started losing faith in atheism. And that is because I said, wait a minute, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason why we exist. So I started getting every book on everything I could get from science, religion, Nostradamus, UFOs, you know, Chariot of the Gods, all these books. And one day I picked up a book. I thought it was a UFO book. And it was like, really, God tricked me on this because I was sure it was a UFO book because it looked like it. I picked it up. It was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, which is all about how what is said in the biblical prophecy, what God said in ancient times is coming true with Israel coming back and all. I had no idea. And that I said, wow. I mean, and I now was open to Jesus because he was in all the books. I mean, UFO books, he was in every book. So I said, well, all right. So I started telling my friends about the prophecies and I wasn't saved, but I was winning them to the Lord. So they were coming to the Lord. So finally, I mean, I started realizing that, you know, I can't just talk about it. I have to live it. If Jesus comes back, I'm not right with him. I was living the life of a typical teenager. I had a rock band and all these things. And I said, you know, I know I have to give my life, but I didn't want to because I thought if you follow God, you give up everything good. I join a monastery and that's it for my life. So I made a deal with God, which is a very Jewish thing to do. I said, God, I said, Lord, if you give me a long life, I will accept you on my deathbed. That was my deal. So right after I did that,
I told you before that's pretty arrogant stuff.
I wasn't humble.
Do this and then I will.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I was really just trying to buy time. So right after that, I was almost killed in a car accident, a crash. And I thought, okay, that was close. And then a few months later, I was in a Ford Pinto at night crossing a train track. And the light was going on as if the train had already, I thought that maybe the train came already because other cars were crossing. So I said, well, let me make sure. So I go up to the track. I look to my left and I see a light. The light doesn't look like it's moving. It's the train. It didn't look like it was moving because I was on the track. And I didn't realize I was on the track. It was a dangerous intersection. People had been killed. I was on the track. So I said, well, you know, maybe I'm just a little too close. So let me just try to back up. But I look in the rear view mirror and there's headlights in back of me. So I didn't think I could move back much. I moved back a foot or two. But I thought, you know, I was just being safe. I was still in the path of the train. So I'm waiting for the train to come in a Ford Pinto. The train comes, plows into the Pinto. It literally goes up like aluminum foil. The only thing I could do at that moment it was to call out to God. And that's, I said, oh God, I call out. And the car was destroyed, demolished, and I didn't get a scratch on me. So I said, all right, Lord. I said, Lord. I said, can we renegotiate? And so I said, here's a new deal. I'll accept you when I turn 20. So here's the new deal. Just don't kill me until I turn 20. And so on my 20th birthday.
You're not making this up.
No. I'm not. That's exactly.
I don't know that you can.
It's exactly what happened. You know, and it says that, you know, Paul wrote, Jews demand signs. We need it. Well, I needed a train. You know, that's what it took. So it happened. So on my 20th birthday, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to get saved. I did start listening to Christian radio, but I didn't know how. So I remember in Hebrew school, God met Moses and Elijah on the mountain. So I said, let me find a mountain. So I found a mountain. Went up to the top of the mountain at dawn, kneeled down on a rock, and gave my life to the Lord. That's how I came to the Lord because of that.
Was it a dramatic, new creature kind of relationship?
It was. I mean, I thought that, you know, one of the people I had shared the Lord with, one of my friends, came to the Lord and he said it was like lightning and all. So I thought, well, there's going to be lightning. You pray that prayer, a bell's going to ring, you know, you're accepted, number 203, or there's a trumpet. I thought there's going to be something. I didn't feel that, but what I knew is that right immediately, certain things couldn't come out of my mouth. It was something different from that moment on. And what happened was that my life started changing immediately after that. Everything started changing step by step. But yeah, I was in college, you know, I had to decide what to do. And the Lord called me into ministry back then. Mm. So yeah, everything changed starting with that prayer on the mountain.
Well, let's give people a reminder of what the Harbinger was about. And then we will go on to your new book.
Yeah, the Harbinger is the revealing of a mystery that takes place in the last days of ancient Israel when God sends 9 signs or prophetic warnings of judgment that are given to that nation that has departed from God, and they're given a certain time period before judgment comes. And they ignore the signs and judgment comes. And the thing with the Harbinger is that the eerie thing or the strange thing or the stunning thing is those same 9 prophetic harbingers have now reappeared on American soil. They have appeared in our land. Some have appeared in New York City. Some have appeared in Washington. Some have involved American leaders, even the President of the United States. They are unfolding uncannily, eerily. In fact, since the book came out, they have continued to unfold. I mean, they are continually warning of a nation in danger of judgment. And they are happening specifically, they're happening precisely and in prophetic order. So, I mean, it's a very, I didn't expect to see this thing. I mean, but it just came kind of one puzzle piece after the other. And it is still unfolding. As America departs from God, these signs are appearing. So the Harbinger is the revealing of the 9 harbingers that appeared in Israel that are now appearing in America and which have not stopped.
Rabbi, how did you get cued into these events?
Well, you know, our ministry is across the river from New York City. So, in fact, my wife, she wasn't my wife then, but I was seeing her. She was supposed to be in the World Trade Center on that day at that time. And at last moment, her plans were canceled. And we had several people in the congregation who had that same story. So we could see 9/11 happening. We could see it. And I was across the river and I was praying. And I was led immediately to that section of scripture, Isaiah 9 and 10, which became the centerpiece of the Harbinger. And then later on, I was standing in New York City at Ground Zero, and I see this tree that had been struck down. And something said to me, I mean, it's like the voice of the Spirit says, there's something, there's a mystery there, and you have to search this. You have to find what's there. I had no idea. I started searching, and it became like the first puzzle piece of this ancient mystery that kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until I was blown away by it as it was happening. I didn't know where it was going to go, but it was almost like the Lord just made sure I kept seeing the next thing. Like whenever I needed the next thing, someone would say a word, it would end up being the next clue, the next key. He made sure I saw it. And so I first shared it at Beth Israel, the congregation. Everybody was blown away and said, this got to go to America. But I never thought of doing a book until later. And then when I started writing the book literally just – literally, I never wrote a book in my life – wrote itself. It happened rapid fire. It happened just like that. And then it went across America, I mean, as it's gone.
So. Well, Shirley and I read that book at the same time, and we were both blown away by it. And I do hope that our listeners will do one of two things. Either get the book, which is probably in your best interest, and the other one is to order my interview with you, which is in mine, so they can decide what they do. Dr. Meeker, you were on the phone that day too, weren't you?
You know, I will never forget that day too, and I've read the book, and it honestly is the kind of book that you read with your jaw dropping open, because you just shake your head thinking, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. There's something spooky about it, and yet I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, not exactly, but Rabbi, but there's a sense where God is speaking to you and this is deep truth. And then you really know it's biblical and it's scriptural, because everything lines up and you just know that you know that you know. And so I would really encourage everyone who has not read The Harbinger to read it, because it is, there's nothing like it. There's nothing else like it. And this is the cool thing about this show. We haven't even started talking about what we're here to talk about.
Yes, that's right.
That is a cool thing about
which
this show.
Which is the mystery of the Shemitah.
Yes, and that is your new book and what we're going to talk about today. I would hope that our listeners will also read Isaiah 9 and 10.
Yes. Yeah.
Shirley and I are reading Isaiah now together, and we stumbled across that same scripture that you based the Harbinger on.
Yeah, and it's without going into detail for those who don't know, but this is a scripture that comes up that actually American leaders actually pronounce. It's a scripture of judgment pronounced over America without realizing what they're doing. I don't know if, you know, in the time we're here, we'll have time to talk about some of the continuing things, but I'll just give you a note. The president just gave a State of the Union address, you know, some time ago. And it's followed the same pattern of Isaiah 9:10, and that pattern has followed his entire presidency. I mean, it's been unfolding. Yeah. It has not stopped, and we are progressing on this course.
Well, let's do talk about the mystery of the Shemitah. Yeah. First of all, tell us what in the world that is, because I never heard that word until you published the book.
Yeah. Well, okay, the nutshell is the mystery of the Shemitah is a 3,000-year-old mystery from the Bible that actually lies behind the rise and fall of the economy, the crashing of Wall Street, actually the rise and fall of nations, the rise of America, what may be the fall of America. It even has the key to the end time prophecy when things happen in Israel and something that may be happening soon. It's so specific or so precise that it actually, as far as I know, and because I've talked to people on Wall Street, it's the only thing that actually gave the exact dates of the crashing of Wall Street down to the hours, I mean, long before it ever happened. And we are now in the year of the Shemitah.
Which occasion?
The greatest crash in Wall Street history up to this date, first of all, 2001, the exact date, it happened right after 9/11, the exact date was the date appointed in the Bible for the wiping out of the financial accounts of a nation. The exact date, Elul 29. Then 7 years later, the mystery of the speech is a 7-year mystery. We could, you know, but 7 years later comes the other greatest crash, which to this day is still the record holder. Happens. It's the Great Recession, greatest crash ever. It happens on the same exact day appointed in the Bible, which is called Elul 29. It's the day of the Shemitah, the day that accounts have to be wiped out. The down to the day, down to the hours, down to even the seconds was all there in the Bible, and it's the days are there. This is from ancient times, and it's the exact time, the two greatest crashes up to those days.
And for the second one, you're referring to what happened in 2008?
2008, September 29, 2008. Yeah. The people on Wall Street go into the New York Stock Exchange. They ring the opening bell. That day, the opening bell literally refuses to ring. They even Wall Street said there's something going on here. That day comes the greatest crash in American history. Happens on Elul 29, which is the day of the Shemitah. It only comes once every 7 years, this day. And it happens on the exact day that's appointed in the Bible for the wiping out of financial accounts. And that becomes a sign of warning of judgment of a nation that has departed from God. So you have the two greatest crashes are each separated by 7 years, which is the mystery of the Shemitah. It's a seven-year cycle on the exact same day down to the second.
Take us back to ancient Israel and what the Shemitah talks about. What does that word represent in the scripture?
Okay. Most people know about, obviously know about the Sabbath day. Every seventh day is the Sabbath day. But what most people don't realize is that every seventh year was a Sabbath year. Some people know it, but every seventh year, the land would rest. There was no sowing, no reaping, no buying, no selling of the fruits of the land. An entire year of Sabbath. And that Sabbath year was called the Shemitah. So it's an economic rest. It's an economic cessation. On the very last day of that Sabbath year, it's called Elul 29, which we just alluded to. On that day, God says, all debt is wiped out on that day. All credit is wiped out on that day. The financial accounts of the nation are wiped clean on that day called Elul 29. So it's not only an economic cessation, it's a financial nullifying. Now, that was to be a blessing. You know, the Sabbath year was to be a blessing. But when Israel turned away from God, they drove God out of their government, out of their life, out of their culture. What they did, they started breaking the Sabbath and breaking the Shemitah. The Shemitah comes back at them as a sign of judgment. And we know it even if we don't know it. And that is that, remember when the judgment came on Israel and they were taken into captivity to Babylon? 70 years. Why 70 years? The Bible says that was for the 70 Sabbaths or the 70 Shemitah years that were broken. So now the land rests. The land has a Sabbath for the year. So the Shemitah becomes a sign of judgment now concerning a nation that has driven God out of its life and God out of its culture. So the Shemitah is not only a pattern, just like the Sabbath year is a pattern, but it can become a prophetic sign and one of the most powerful prophetic signs in the Bible. And so the question is, could God still use this sign, just like with the harbinger? Could God still, the same God of the Bible, could he still use this pattern? Could this actually be in effect? Could this be affecting our lives even from the day we were born to now? And could this now, in America's case, be part of the warning or the timing of judgment? That is the question, and the answer is yes. And that is what the mystery of the Shemitah reveals.
Rabbi, I consider myself a fairly learned person when it comes to the Old Testament, New Testament. I'm not a theologian. I never went to seminary. But as I listen to you talk, I have a simple question. Where are you finding this? Because, you know, you said that down to the exact day and the exact hour of, you know, the crashes. And I'm thinking, did you find that in the Old Testament? Did you find that by combining the Old Testament and the New Testament? What book is it in?
Okay. First off, it's in the Law of Moses. It's in the Torah. The Torah says for 6 years you shall sow and reap, but on the seventh year it shall be a Sabbath year.
Right.
Or in Hebrew, a Shemitah. Then it goes on to say, it's in several places of the Torah, then it says that at the end of the seventh year, everyone who owes a debt, it shall be released. Everyone who is owed shall be released. It is the Lord's Shemitah. In Hebrew, in the Bible you have, it might say the Lord's remission or the Lord's release or the Sabbath year, but the Hebrew is Shemitah. But it's all there. In fact, it's even being observed in Israel to this day, right now. It's being observed. Mm-hmm. We're in a Shemitah year. So it's being observed. So this is not, this is an absolute thing that's being done since, from ancient times. Jesus would have known about the Shemitah. Because the land would rest. It's all there. But then as far as when I talk about the exact timing, that you could actually go to the computer. September 17, 2001, you have the crash caused by 9/11. It was the greatest crash to that day. That's Elul 29, not just Elul 29, but of the exact Shemitah. It's the day appointed for the nullifying of the financial realm. In 2008, it's September 29th, down to the day, down to the second, down to the closing bell. They're separated by 7 Hebrew years exactly.
Okay.
Second. Yeah. So it's there.
Wow.
Okay. In the Torah.
In the Torah. Oh,
most of us don't read the Torah. How can we find that?
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are the Torah. So it's all there.
I'm glad your parents. I'm glad
law.
Your parents made you go to Hebrew school.
Well,
personally.
I don't think I learned this there. I don't think I learned. I learned to be an atheist there. But no, it's so it's all there. And again, in fact, I'll give you an example. When Wall Street was being – when the accounts were being wiped out on these 2 days of the Shemitah – and again, remember too, the Shemitah comes every 7 years. So the two greatest crashes up to those days are separated by exactly seven biblical Hebrew years down to the second. I mean, literally, down to the closing bells. But when that was happening in Israel and around the world – Orthodox Jews were symbolically canceling out their debts while all across the world accounts were being canceled out all over, starting with America, starting with Wall Street. And the thing is, I mean, not only did it happen then, but I didn't know this when I wrote The Harbinger, but this mystery has been going on since the – I mean, long before and since the day every one of us were born. If, example, if you look at the last 40 years of history, say 1973 onward, there are five major – financial long-term collapses of Wall Street. And there are five of them. When do they happen? 1973, 1980, it was a double-dip recession. 1987 has Black Monday in it. 2000 and 2007. Every single one of them happens according to a seven-year cycle. And not only that, do any of them happen on the actual year of the Shemitah or at that time? The answer is every single one of them happens at the time of the Shemitah, every single one. And I mean, and I had no idea when I wrote The Harbinger. If you look at the 20th century to begin with and look at the greatest long-term crashes, the majority of them happen at the time of the Shemitah. The top three are 1937, 1938, which is the second part of the Great Depression. The Shemitah is 1937, 1938. The number two is the Great Recession, 2007, 2008. When was the Shemitah? 2007 to 2008. The number one is the Great Depression. The peak year is 1930 and 31. When is the Shemitah? 1930 and 31. An example, in 1937, the Shemitah begins. The next day, Wall Street collapses. I mean, this is how dramatic it is. And it's not only giving the years, this mystery, and it also gives the time of year. Because there's a certain time in the Bible that opens and closes the Shemitah, and it's called the month of Tishri. And that's and some of you have heard of that, but that's when you have trumpets and Yom Kippur, Tishri. And the thing is, so is there any pattern to when, if you look at the greatest day crashes, when do they happen? They could happen any time of the year. The amazing thing is the majority of them, the greatest day crashes, happen all clustered around the single month of Tishri. In fact, for ages, financial analysts have been like mystified. Why do these great crashes tend to take place in the autumn or September, October? I mean, we already know that, these Black Monday. Well, the answer is in the Bible. They can never explain it. In the Bible, that's the time that God gives for the nullification. So, I mean, it's really kind of mind-boggling, but this has been happening, and the phenomenon has been getting more and more intense. The last two have been so exact, so really mind-blowing, which to me, and I say this in the book, I believe is linked to the departure of America and the nations from God, which means this phenomenon is getting more and more exact. And the scary thing, I mean, I know we'll get into the future, but and I'm not a date setter, but there are dates, but that we are in a Shemitah. And so the last two have happened exactly.
All right.
Exactly. Yeah, 2015.
Count 7 years ahead and when's the next one, according to this understanding?
Okay, well, you have 2001 as the majority of the Shemitah at the peak. 2008, so the next one is 2015. Mm-hmm. So we are in the – actually begins at the end of 2014, begins into there. And I know we're going to talk about the future with this too. And I'm not saying you can't put God in a box. God can do whatever he likes. He doesn't have to do anything. But there are already significant things that are already happening. But I think we should be aware of it. I think we should be ready. I do believe that a great shaking is coming to America. I believe a great shaking is coming to the world, but America. And it could happen. I'm not a date setter. Again, I do put dates, but I put a caution there. But I do believe we need to be ready. If you look at the last two times, it's been exact. It's been exact. And America since then has not grown closer to God. We've grown much farther from God. In fact, there are a lot of things converging for this present year of the Shemitah. So, and not only does this mystery have to do with economy, it has to do with literally the changing of history. America rose during a time of the Shemitah. And could there be a fall? You know, you actually see world history going dependent on this time period as well as end time prophecy. So it's really, when I wrote The Harbinger, I began to introduce the Shemitah. I believe there was much more to it, but I didn't have time to deal with it. So there's one little quote in The Harbinger where the man called Nouriel asked the prophet, and he says, well, basically, is this just now or does this phenomenon continue back and forth? And the prophet answers, well, it's not for now. It's not for us to talk about now because I believe there was more. And so only since we were last together, only then was I really seeking the Lord and did the rest of this covenant, which became the mystery of the Shemitah.
Rabbi, this is really complicated stuff. It is also very, very intriguing to me personally. I love listening to you, and we just got started. You know, I knew it would be this way. But will you just sit right where you're sitting, and we're going to keep you here until you're starved half to death. But we're going to get everything out of you that you came to give us. You live in New Jersey.
Yes.
You made a long journey to be here with us.
My joy to be here. Truly, my joy to be here. I would never not be here.
Whatever people can say about you, it is clear that you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, right?
It's the only way. I mean, and he gives us every reason to love him. He never stops blessing. I thank God for every moment I have. Absolutely. That's it.
Yeah. We've enjoyed being with you, and let's just continue with this conversation.
Amen.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's program, where we get the opportunity to hear more from Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. If you'd like more information about Rabbi Kahn or his book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for part two of The Beginning of the End for America, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.